As we come to the end of Advent and start the Christmas season, I want to share a series of homilies on Pope St. John Paul II's theology of the body. When God became man at Christmas, the human body became indispensable for theology and knowing God. It is no exaggeration to say that the Pope's synthesis of scripture and sexuality has revolutionized Catholic theology. George Weigel stated in his biography on John Paul, "In the theology of the body, John Paul II, so often dismissed as rigidly conservative, has proposed one of the boldest reconfigurations of Catholic theology in centuries." In my opinion, John Paul II appropriated the insights of the modern philosophies of phenomenology and personalism to explain the whole Catholic faith, similar to how Thomas Aquinas harnessed Aristotle's philosophy in the 13th century. And before him, St. Augustine employed the philosophy of Plato in the 5th century. That is, John Paul II has rewritten the ancient Christian faith in a new language, more compelling and convincing to modern believers. In these following homilies, I want to help you become fluent in that language. I first learned about the theology of the body when my friend, Father Eric Pohlmeier, now bishop, handed me a set of cassette tapes by Christopher West on the theology of the body. And he said, "You should listen to this." You youngsters will have to Google what cassette tapes are. I had to listen to those tapes several times before I finally understood the brilliance of the Pope's groundbreaking theology. Later, in 2006, Michael Waldstein published the book John Paul himself had written on the theology of the body called Man and Woman, He Created Them. I have read that 532-page book several times, cover to cover, and I have still only skimmed the surface of all the Holy Father has to say. Nonetheless, I believe I've reached a certain level of fluency with the Pope's theology, and I feel confident I can share with you the rudiments of this new language. The best way to learn any new language, of course, is an immersion program where you live in the land where the language is spoken. So I hope you will immerse yourself in this theology by reading the Pope's book yourself and live in his 532-page land. And sorry, you cannot borrow my cassette tapes. Even though the theology of the body is a book, that is now not how it originally saw the light of day. John Paul II had written it during the 1970s, while still Archbishop of Krakow, when Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, John Paul's baptismal name, was elected as the successor of Peter in 1978, the book was still a manuscript and unpublished. Instead of publishing it all at once, the Pope decided to spoon-feed the theology of the body to the church over the course of 5 years. Like a loving mother spoon-feeds soft baby food to her child. As a letter to the Hebrews noted, "You need milk, not solid food." Therefore, from September 5th, 1979, until November 28th, 1984, the Pope introduced the theology of the body to the church and to the world in roughly 15-minute bite-sized addresses on Wednesdays during his general audiences. Incidentally, the Pope had to excise some of his rich reflections on the Old Testament books of Song of Songs and Tobit in the interest of time. In other words, they're in the book, but not in the audience addresses. You always get more out of reading the book than watching the movie. Let's crack open the Pope's book and look at the landscape. The text itself is divided into two major halves, rather like the Bible. The first half is called the words of Christ, and the second half is called the sacrament. But it is in the first part where the Pope teaches us the new language of the theology of the body, which after all are rooted in Christ's words. And then once we become fluent in the theology of the body, in the first half, the Pope uses it to talk about the great sacrament of marriage in the second half. By the way, do you know what the Pope's stated purpose was for his book? This may come as a surprise to contemporary Catholics, but John Paul's aim was to present a thoroughly scriptural and philosophically formidable rationale for why the Catholic Church teaches that contraception is immoral. The Pope explained his strategy, saying, "If I draw particular attention precisely to these final catecheses devoted to Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI's encyclical prohibiting contraception, I do so not only because the topic discussed by them is more closely connected with our present age, but first of all, because it is from this topic that the questions spring that run in some way through the whole of our reflections. That is, even if the vast majority of Western Catholics today feel the Church has missed the boat by prohibiting contraception, the Pope Saint vigorously disagrees." Incidentally, this is not the first time the majority of Jesus' disciples got it wrong. After our Lord's most explicit teaching on the Eucharist in John chapter 6, we hear many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And that doubt then led to large-scale defections from the ranks. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer walked with him. I am convinced, though, that if we become fluent in the language of the theology of the body, we will see why the Church is right on contraception and the majority is dead wrong. But defending the Church's teaching about contraception is not all the theology of the body is for. That is one small victory. The larger war the theology of the body is waging is to present the strongest case for Catholic Christianity available today. George Weigel quotes a Roman theologian who said, "Angelo Scola, rector of the Pontifical Lateran University of Rome, goes so far as to suggest that virtually every thesis in theology, God, Christ, the Trinity, grace, the Church, the sacraments, could all be seen in a new light if theologians explored the depth of the rich personalism implied in John Paul II's theology of the body." In sum, John Paul II has given the Church an entirely new language to articulate the Christian faith that will ring true in modern ears. Let me quickly summarize the first half of the theology of the body, the words of Christ, where we learn the basic vocabulary of this new language. You will be happy to know there are only three words of Christ that we have to master speaking, so it should be easy, right? Who can't learn a language with three words? By word, incidentally, I don't mean a single word like cat or dog, but rather a sentence or a thought by Jesus. His first word is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, where Jesus speaks about the indissolubility of marriage, the permanence of marriage, by going back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden. His second word is spoken in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, where he touches on concupiscence in the heart and redefines morality from the heart. And Jesus' third word is uttered in Matthew 22, verse 30, where Jesus appeals to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the blessed in heaven. In other words, Pope John Paul II insists that when we learn to speak these three words of Christ, we will master a new language to express our faith and evangelize the world. Changing metaphors, each word forms one panel in a triptych, a three-panel altarpiece that paints a picture of the integral vision of man. What is a human being? Vatican II said that Christ fully reveals man to man himself and makes his supreme calling clear. That is, Christ reveals who we are in three simple words: our origins, our pilgrimage, and our destiny. My friends, the theology of the body is the most important language you can learn, more urgent than Spanish or Mandarin or Arabic, because it will tell you who you truly are. And it's the easiest language you can learn because it only has three words. Praised be Jesus Christ.